Today's daf is daf Yud Ches in Erechin, and let's get underway. Okay. We have to finish off our discussion of the third parak of Erechin. Third parak of Erechin ended with Lashon Hara and the mitzvah of Tochacha. You remember we made two big statements regarding Tochacha yesterday. The Gemara says, Gemara quotes Rabbi Tarfon, the Gemara quotes Rav Yochanan Ben-Nuri. Rav Tarfon says, I don't think anyone really knows how to give Tochacha. And Rav Yochanan Ben-Nuri says, I don't think anyone knows how to receive Tochacha. We asked the question yesterday, how far do you go in terms of giving Tochacha? So the Gemara says, Gemara gave three opinions amongst the Amoraim, three opinions amongst the Tanaim, up until the point where you get hit, up until the point where you get rebuked, up until the point where you get censored. Gemara says the same thing is true regarding lodging. When you're lodging in a particular place, so you should really stick it out. You shouldn't, even if the accommodations aren't exactly everything you expected, but nevertheless, you should stick it out until, the Gemara says, same thing, until either you get hit, until you get slapped, until you get censored. Okay. That's all we, and the reason why is the Gemara said yesterday because of the Pogim V'Nifgam. That's what we got up to yesterday. The idea of Pogim V'Nifgam is the idea that once you no longer stay at the place that you were lodging, so people are going to say, doesn't seem like this person can't get along with other people. They'll say that about you. They'll say that about the innkeeper. Okay, so really you should try to stick it out. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. We're about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're on Tezayin Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes, Minayin Shalo Yishan Adam Bachsanai Shalo Minatara. So how do we know that this idea that a person should not change his lodging, shouldn't change hotels? Where do we get this from in the Torah? Shenemar, Makom Asher Hayasham Ohalo Batechila. So the Gemara says that when Avraham goes and he moves around from place to place, he establishes his tent where it was originally. I guess when it says his tent, it means in the inn that he stayed at. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Mamehacha, Vayelech, Lamasa Av. So he quotes a different pasuk, but it's also by Avram Avinu. My Beinayu, the Gemara says, it sounds very similar. Ika Beinayu, Achsanai Dekrai. So the Gemara says, well, what if you just stayed at a place one time? Right, Rashi gives the example, Kagon Achsanai Shebederech, Shalan Sham Bemikra Be'alma. Shashakalo Sham Chama. You're driving, it's late at night, right? Been there, done that. And, so you stay at a hotel. That's not, you didn't make reservations. You weren't planning on staying there. You just happened to have been there. So Rashi goes on to explain, So if it's based on the pasuk of O-L-O, well, O-L, right, O-L is something that you set up, you establish. It has to be, you had to have made reservations. Right? And if it's masa'av, any one of your travelings, so even if you stopped at a hotel, but that's now your hotel, that's where you should stay. Amar Rav Yochanan Minayin Shalo Yishan Adam Umnas Avosav. Okay? Right? You should always take on the occupation of your father and of your father's father, and, you know, the occupation should stay in the family. Right? New definition to family business. Okay? Shenemar V'yishlach HaMelech Shlomo V'yikach Es Chiram Mitzar Ben Isha Amana, who mimaten Naftali, v'aviv ish tzari choresh nechoshes. Right? Chiram was the coppersmith of the Beis HaMikdash. And you know what his father was? That's correct. His father also was a coppersmith. V'amar amar ime mi Beis Dan uksiv v'ito asa aliyav ben achisamach l'mate dam. And not only that, his mother was from Dan. And Dan, right? Ahayla ben achisamach, one of the architects, was from Sheva Dan. Fine. So you see that on both sides he was in construction. Right. Okay. Okay, thank you. Ad Heichan. Yeah, it's right. We don't follow this. I would say also that if you polled around, you would see people, we don't tend to follow this, the instructions of the Gemara. Right. But people don't tend to take the occupations. Okay, Ad Heichan Tachlis Yisurin. So right now at this point in time, we're finishing up the perek, and this is really not connected, meaning we've been discussing now the mitzvah of Lashon Hara, but that you understand because the Mishnah talked about Lashon Hara, and then we talked about Tochacha because similar, meaning, right, you can't speak bad about somebody, but if you see someone doing something wrong, so you got to go and correct. But now, at this point in time, though, we're going to get off a little bit off topic, right? We got into this language of Ad Heichan, right? So we talked about Ad Heichan up until what point in time is Tochacha. And then we talked about Ad Heichan in terms of staying in the same place. Now, here's another Ad Heichan. Ad Heichan Tachlis Yisurin. At what point do you say, oh boy, I had a bad day? Okay? As Jews, we tend to focus a little bit on the negative. Okay? We're critical people. I mean, I guess that's a good way to describe us. But, you come home and you say, I had a bad day. Okay? So what happened today? So what's worthy of saying I had a bad day? Now, the bigger question, which hopefully later on we'll explain, is why would you want to do that? Why would you want to say that you had a bad day? Why not say I had a good day? Okay, I understand that you can always accentuate the positive, but there's obviously some value in being able to say, honey, I had a bad day. So, Heichan Tachlis Yisurin Amar Rabbi Elazar Kol She'argol Obeged Lobosh Ve'ein Miskabel Alav. So he says, well, you take your suit, you give it to the tailor, okay, after the tailor measured you up, you go back, you pick up your suit, you try in the suit, and it doesn't fit. Okay, that's a bad day. Agreed. Agreed. That is a bad day. So, Maskev LaRav is the Iri Vitem Rabbi Shmuel Ben Achmena Gedola Mizu Amru. He says that's too much. Meaning, you need that to happen in order to have a bad day. What if something not so bad happens? It's still a bad day. I feel this kavnu limzuk bechaming umazgol b'sonin. Let's say you wanted to be mosaic your cup, right? Back in the good old days, before they drank the wine was like thick syrup, and they poured water in. And the water and the dilution now prepare the wine for drinking. And let's say you were totally prepared to drink bechamin, meaning you wanted a warm cup of wine. Okay, again, I'm not a connoisseur, I don't understand. Okay. You have a warm cup of wine? Okay. Phil, you know these things. I don't know. So en mazgalo b'tzonein, and by accident, right, you thought it was warm water, and meanwhile it was cold water. So, b'tzonein mazgalo b'chamin, or just the reverse. In other words, and that is yisurin, and that is suffering in this world. And you're going to give me the example of the tailor and the suit not fitting, meaning I can give you much easier examples. V'at amart kuleh hai. Okay. My b'reid de Rabbi Nachman afilo nepach lo chaluko. Right, you put your undershirt on inside out. Oh no, now you got to take it off. Now you got to put it back on again. Okay, now I know it sounds like we're making big deals about not such major events in the life, but as you'll see later on, there's a value to calling this Yisurin. Rav Avitem, Rav Chisav, Avitem, Rav Yitzchak, Vamila, Bemasisatana, Afilo, Hoshelo, Yad, Lekis, Lito, Shalu, Ve'alo, Biyado, Shtayim. You got to go into your pocket. You got to take out three coins, and you reach into your pocket and you grab coins, and it turns out there's only two and not three. That's Yisurin. Now, Davka Shalosh V'alo B'yadu Shtayim, Bava Shayim V'alo B'yadu Shalosh Lo. Now, the Gemara says, but let's say you only needed two, you reach into your pocket, you took out three, that's not Yisurin. D'leketircha L'mishtayayu. Because then, just to put one back, that's not a big deal. But, okay, fine. The Kol Kach Lama. And finally, the Gemara says, and what's the point? Right, where are we going with this whole discussion? Meaning, we've now been spending about 10 lines of Gemara trying to identify what's Yisurin and what's not Yisurin. Why? The Tanya Rabbi, Debe Rabbi Yishmael, Kol Shavu Olav Arbam Yom Below Yisurin, Kibol Olamo. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, that if you go 40 days without Yisurin, so Kibol Olamo, you have now received all your reward of Olam Haba. So in other words, part of the world that we live in is Yisurin. It's just simply part of the world. And so if you don't have if you're not getting Yisurin and you're not suffering at all, so it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to you, look, you have really nothing in store for Olam Haba. So you know what? You're getting all of Olam Haba in this world. Okay, again, just another opportunity to quote Derech Hashem. I don't know why, it just comes up again and again. But the Ramchal writes that, right, as to the basic question of why good things happen to bad people, why do bad things happen to good people? So the Derech Hashem offers an approach. It's not him that just offers this approach. Many offer as well. He says, because for those people who are essentially bad, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, look, you did a couple of good things in this world. I'm going to reward you, but the reward I'm going to give you is in this world, not in the world to come. And so that's why he's going to be sitting b'shalva, in peace and quiet in this world, and so that he has absolutely nothing for it to look for in Olam Haba. As opposed to the tzaddik, who's got, you know, a little bit to, not even a tzaddik, but just, you know, generally speaking, a good person, so who has, you know, who has avera, so for him, so the yisurin for him is going to be coming in this world. So, similar to that, the Gemara says, once you see 40 days go and you have no yisurin whatsoever, you know, basically, that's it. So in other words, yisurin is kind of something that you should be looking forward to. Okay. Bema'arava Amre. Now in Eretz Yisrael, they say, meaning for this person who has gone 40 days without yisurin, puranios mizdamenes lo. Right? You have bad things to wait for, looking forward to you. Yes. Tanya Rabbi Lazar Gadol Omer Omalei Bakosh Baruch Hu Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Bedin. The pasuk says, "Va'atayisatzvu ve'eshvata eschem lifnei Hashem eskol tzidkos Hashem asher asa itachem ve'esavoseichem." Okay. He gave them tochacha. Zedor doroshav mevakshe panecha Yaakov. Sela pligi bar Rav Yehuda nisiav Rabban charama lefi parnas vechiramar vecharamar parnas lefi. I'm sorry. Dor lefi parnas v'charamar parnas lefi dorel. Okay, I know today is the primary here. Primary today is the primary here in Florida. So you're going to try to figure out now who to elect. So the Gemara over here asks the basic question: Inyan diyuma, right? Matters of the day. Does the leader a reflection of the people, or is the people a reflection of the leader? Okay, that's exactly the Gemara's question. So, Lamai Hilchasa. Now, the Gemara is funny. The Gemara says, practically speaking, what does that mean? Meaning, it's a nice philosophical question, but how does it play out? Ilmale Lamal Yusa, Demar Savar, Imale Dara, Male Parnas, Umar Savar, Imale Parnas, Male Dara. So, the Gemara says, well, maybe it means like this. Meaning that if you have a good leader, by definition, you'll have good people. And if you have good people, by definition, you have a good leader. Meaning, whatever is reflecting what, so obviously now good people would reflect in a good leader. Or if the people are reflecting the leader, a good leader will automatically reflect in good people. But the Gemara says, but that's not true. Meaning we know historically that's not true. Ha'it gets titkiyahu da'ave male, v'dare lo have male. So the Gemara says titkiyahu was, he was good. Good guy. Okay. Somewhat debatable, but the Gemara overall says titkiyahu was a good guy. And meanwhile, the generation of Tzidkiyahu, not good. That was the generation of the destruction of the temple. And the Gemara says, and let's go back three kings. Meaning, remember, we just did this the other day. It was first last four kings, Yoshiyahu, Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin, and finally Tzidkiyahu. So the Gemara says, Yehoyakim, not good. The Lohave Male, he was bad. The Navi describes him as being just a total Rasha. Even though, by the way, Yehoyakim was the son of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was a Tzadik Gamur. So Vidare Havi Male, and his generation was exceptional. Now part of the reason why his generation was exceptional is because his generation, his people, followed Yoshiyahu. I mean Yoshiyahu was a total Tzadik. Dam Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Meyochem Adyachsiv. In fact, you see from the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that for the malchus of Yehoyakim, the Navi uses the term bracious. Bracious meaning, I'd like to start again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in just destroying the world and starting all over again. And you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that every now and then. Right? That's one of his moves. Right? By Noach he did it. And of course, after Noah, he promised, "I'll never do it again." But in other words, he wanted to, right? The Pirkei Avos, it says that he wanted to do the same thing also by Avraham. But Avraham assuaged him. So, but nevertheless, though, he wanted to do it by the generation of Yehoyakim. Latov avo, bishol Yehoyakim, kamosh nistaka bedoro, nisyashva, sorry, kevinch nistaka bedoro, nisyashva dato. But then he looked at the generation, meaning, look, Yehoyakim, not a good guy. Really not a good guy. But the generation of Yehoyakim, that was a good generation. Okay, so so you see clearly, the Gemara gave two illustrations in both directions. You can have good leader, bad people. You can have bad leader, good people. So, this question, the Gemara quoted the pasuk from Tehillim, Zed Dor Dorasha Mevakshe Fanecha Yaakov Sela. This question of the people reflecting the leader, or the leader reflecting the people, what does it mean? Lamai Hilchasa. So the Gemara's answer, Kevish and Nisaka B'tzvikyo Nisasha Dato, Ella Le'inyan Tukva V'nichusa Kamrinan. So the Gemara says regarding getting angry and being and the ability for conciliation, for reconciliation. Seemingly what the Gemara means, the Gemara is really not that clear, but seemingly what it means is that if you have a very angry leader, you're going to have a very angry group of people. Or conversely, if you have an angry mass, you'll have an angry leader. And same thing is true regarding nichusa, meaning if you have a calm, peaceful leader, you're going to have calm people, or if you have calm people, you're going to have a calm leader. Okay? In terms of midos, I guess we could say, they're going to reflect one another. Okay? So I guess so for your takeaway points from today, so who are you going to choose for today? Right? So, again, assuming that that you want nichusa, so you look for somebody who is you look for somebody with the reconciliation. Yeah. Right. And the leader that was bad. So using the example that the Gemara gives, so the answer is because the masses had a good leader originally, meaning you would go from Yoshiyahu to Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim was a disaster. Yoshiyahu was great. So right. So in other words, so the people who were who followed Yoshiyahu, so they were great. In other words, they were positively influenced by Yoshiyahu. And then next guy that comes around is Yehoyakim. Now he himself was a disaster, but the people were still good because they still were bouncing off of Yehoyakim. Sorry, of Yoshiyahu. Okay, Hadron Lachyesh Be'erchin, that is the end of the third perek. Okay, we start now the fourth perek of Erchin, and now nitty gritty. We get into the world of Erchin. Not a long perek, an extraordinarily short perek. Two blot of Gemara, just about. Right, these prakim have to be short because Erchin is 9 prakim, which is pretty long. And meanwhile, Erchin is all of 32, 33 blot of Gemara. So 33 and a half. So you know, you're talking about an average of 4 blot a, right, 5 blot a perek. Hesigad benoder vehashanim benidar. V'ha'erchen b'nerach, v'ha'erech b'zman ha'erech. 4 halachas mentioned in the Mishnah. Halacha number 1, hesegad b'noder. Look, we've talked about this earlier, but now we're going to speak about it in much greater detail. And that is, what if the person's poor? Meaning he says, I'd like to give the erech of so-and-so. And the person now who's making the pledge, he is a poor individual. He can't afford it. So the Torah basically says, okay, so for you, we're going to make a special assessment. Okay, this is what's called Hesed Yad. So who do we follow? The person making the pledge or the person that's being pledged about? I mean, the answer is obvious. But the Mishnah says, Hesed Yad Benoder, we follow the person making the pledge. Hashanim Benidar. Now, as we learned, in the world of Erechin, how do you figure out how much you owe? It's based on age and gender. Age of whom? The person making the pledge or the person that's being pledged about? And now again, the answer is obvious, but the Mishnah tells us, Hashanim benidar. It follows the nidar of the one who is being pledged about. V'ha'erchen b'ne'erach. When it comes to erchen, it is the ne'erach. In the world of Erechin, it follows that one being pledged about, meaning female or male, the ha'erech bizman ha'erech. Now, as far as the erech is concerned, look, let's say that you made the pledge 5 years ago. I know I'm giving a bizarre example. But you made your erech pledge 5 years ago. Now, 5 years later, you're like, okay, I'm ready to pay. Now, the person you made the erech pledge about, who at the time, let's say, was 18 years of age, now is 23 years of age. So what are you going to pay as? You're going to pay as an 18-year-old? Or do you pay now as a 23-year-old? So bizman ha'erech. It goes back to the time that you originally made the erech vow. Okay? Four halachas mentioned in this Mishnah. And now we're going to take the Gemara step by step. Hesed yad. I'm sorry. The Mishnah is going to take it now step by step. Hesed yad benoder. So we start off with the first halacha of the four, and that's the halacha of hesed yad. So for that we follow the noder. Ketzad. Give me an example. Ani she'erech es ha'asher. No sin erech ani. So the example is very simple. You have a poor person, and he says, "I want to give the erech of somebody who happens to be wealthy." But he himself, the one making the pledge, is poor. No sin, erech ani. Okay, so he gives the erech of a poor person. The asher sheherech es ani, no sin, erech asher. And the converse is also true. Let's say the one making the pledge is wealthy. Wealthy over here just simply means he can afford it. And the person that he's making the pledge about is poor. So does he get special dispensation? No. No sin, erech asher. He pays the erech of somebody who is wealthy. Okay. So far, so good. Very straightforward rule. Aval berkabanos einu kein. Okay, but in the world of other kabanos, this would not be true. Now, first and foremost, in other kabanos, there are occasions in other kabanos where we also have this exception, this special consideration of hesed yad. We're going to focus primarily on mitzora. There are other kabanos also where there's hesed yad as well, right? The karban on the... Olaviyareid, very good. But right now we're going to focus on the mitzvah because by the mitzvah you have the consideration of hesed yad. Harei she'amar karbanos shel mitzvah zeh alai, haya mitzvah ani, mevi karban ani. Asher, mevi karban asher. Let's say my friend happened to have been a mitzvah, right? And now he's on the hook to bring a karban mitzvah. And I want to make a pledge. I don't know, kind of like a... I'm not really sure what the motivation would be.
Support.
Maybe just a support system. And I say, I'd like to give the karban shel mitzvah zeh alai. Whatever he's obligated in, I'd like to make myself obligated in as well. Okay, so that means now that if the mitzvah was poor, so you're now obligated to bring a karban mitzvah that a poor man would give. Asher, maybe karban asher. And if it's an asher, you'd bring a karban asher. Okay. Pretty straightforward. Meaning in the world of mitzvah, you will simply be obligated to whatever he's obligated in. All right.
For mitzvah is the same, no?
No, there's hesed yad. There's a poor man's consideration.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Right in the beginning of Parshas Mitzvah. Now, Rebbe Omer Ani. Af Erchin Kein. Now, Rebbe says... You know, if you think about it for just a moment, you realize the two cases are not parallel one another. Meaning, let's think about this for a moment. In the world of Erechin, I make an Erech pledge. Whose pledge is that? It's my pledge. Now, in terms of how we're going to assess that pledge, okay, that's based on factors. And the factors are, whose Erech value am I looking towards? If not myself, then obviously somebody else. But fundamentally, that pledge belongs to me. So obviously, when we're talking about do I get a poor man's consideration, the only person really to discuss is my own financial consideration. Meaning, what difference does it make whether the person that I'm looking to make his erech, what difference does it make whether he's wealthy or whether he's poor? It shouldn't make a difference. The only thing that matters is my financial status right now because the pledge is essentially mine. He He says, but Rebbe's about to tell us, but think about it. By the Metzorah, that's not true. Meaning in the example of the Metzorah, what was the example? Somebody says, I'm a Metzorah, therefore I need to bring certain karbanos. And then somebody else comes along and says, oh, you know, whatever he's having, I'll have that as well. Right? I'll have what he's having. There, that second person, is that fundamentally his neder? No. It's just a copycat. Right. It's essentially the Mitzvah's obligation, and all he's doing is mimicking whatever the Mitzvah wants to give. So it's not really fundamentally his pledge, it's fundamentally the Mitzvah's pledge, and he's just copying. So essentially Rebbe's point is, these two examples are not parallel one another. In the case of Erech, I'm not copying anybody. It's fundamentally my vow, it's my pledge. So Rabbi Omer Ani Af Be'erchin Kain, V'chi Mibnei Ma Ani She'erich Es Asher Nosen Erich Ani She'ein Ha Asher Chayev Klum. The reason why is because the Asher is not obligated anything. Aval Asher She'amar. But Rabbi says, but let's do the following. Let's make the cases parallel. Meaning now let's set it up so that the cases do reflect one another. So for example, Asher She'amar Erki Alai. Let's say I have a wealthy person and he says, Erki Alai, I'd like to give the pledge of myself. Okay, fine. So whatever age he's in, let's say he's between 20 and 60 years of age, so now he's on the hook for 50 shkalim. Vishama ani va'amar, and now the poor person hears it and he says, Masha amar zeh, Alai, Alai. So he says, you know what? I'll have what he's having.
That's not there.
He's being a copycat. Nosin Erech Asher. So now he's on the hook for Erech Asher, right? Because that's not fundamentally his Erech pledge. He's saying that obligation that he made, I'd like to make the same as well.
Ditto.
Okay, now ditto. Now, obviously, by the way, I mean, we could make the point that his business sense is a little bit warped and distorted, meaning if he's a poor person, what is he doing making that kind of obligation upon himself? I understand. Okay, so, right, we could question his business sense right now, but let's not. Let's just simply point to the fact that now the two cases are analogous with one another. Now, it's interesting. Does the Tanakhama argue with Rebbe? Because Rebbe's making a very valid point. Meaning Rebbe is just simply pointing out that Erchin and Mitzar are not the same, and if we make the cases the same, so then the halach would follow one another, but fundamentally the cases are not the same. Now, is the Tanakhama argue with that? It's really not clear from the Mishnah. The way the Mishnah is set up, it sounds like here's the position of the Tanakhama, and Rebbe's arguing. But if you read the Mishnah again, you'll realize Rebbe's not really arguing. Rebbe's just simply pointing out that Erech and Mitzorah are not the same. Erech, that vow is really mine. Mitzorah, the vow is not mine. The obligation is not mine, it's really the Mitzvah's, and I'm just coming in and copying. If we were to take that scenario and move it to Erechin and make the exact same scenario by Erechin, Rebbe's point is, be the same. Somebody made an Erech vow, and I come along and say ditto. Okay, so in other words, even though I'm not the same financial status as he is, but I said ditto. Ditto to whatever he wanted or whatever he obligated himself to, that's what I obligate myself to. Just as much as an Eder. Heseg Yad B'marichu K'dichsif. So the Gemara now is going to go through the Pesukim. Heseg Yad, but when it comes to a Marich, meaning the one who made the pledge, Asher Tasig Yad Anoder, Yarich Eno Kohen, the Pasuk says, that you follow the hand of the one making the pledge. Shanim B'nidar, so the Gemara says, B'nerachu. So the Gemara says, look, here's the part I'm a little bit bothered by. The Mishnah uses a funny language. Hashanim b'nidar. Nidar? Well, we're not talking about Nidarm right now. We're talking about Erechin. Why doesn't the Mishnah use the more appropriate language, and that is Erech? So the Gemara's answer is, I did Amar Hesegyad b'noda Amar Nami Hashanim b'nidar. Okay, symmetry. Right? How many times have we explained the Mishnah using the concept of symmetry? You're right. It would have been better to say Nerach, but since we talked about Hesegad Benoder, right?
That would have been better to say Marich.
Yeah. I'm trying to understand that also. Why the Mishnah couldn't use the word Marech? Meaning the starting point is Hesegad Benoder, so therefore the finishing point is Hashanim Benidar. Okay, so just for the purposes of symmetry. I'm also curious, Stuart's point. Why the Mishnah can't open up with Hesegad Bema'arech? And then the Mishnah could have said Hashanim Benerach. Okay. I think it's a good question. All right, let's move on. Hesegad Benoder Ketzad Ani She'erech Hasashi Nosen Erech Ani. Okay, my time. Amakra Asher Tasa Yad Anoder Benoder Tala Rechmana. Okay. You follow the hand of the Noder. Aval B'Karbanos and Akein HaRishamer Karbanos HaMetzorah Zeh Alay Havim Metzorah Ani Mevi Karban Ani V'Afagav Demadiro Asher. Now the Gemara is bothered. Even though the Madir, even the one making the Neder is Asher, V'im Dalhu Amarachmana V'lo Dalhu. The Gemara says, I'm a little bit bothered by that because when you read Parshas Metzorah, it says, Im Dalhu. Now, by the Metzorah, we know that if the Metzorah is poor, so he doesn't have to bring the rich man's Karbanos, he can bring the poor man's Karbanos of birds. But the Pasuk says, V'im Dalhu, if he is poor, which means that if somebody comes along and copycats and says, whatever he's obligated, I'll be obligated as well. But the Torah says, imdalhu, only if he's poor. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Kishaya madira ani. So the Gemara, so Rabbi Yitzchak says, you know what the case of the Metzorah is? The case of the Metzorah is where the copycat is actually poor himself. Meaning, good. So the case of the Metzorah, now we're going to limit it to only when both the Metzorah is poor and the one who is copycatting, the one who's piggybacking off that one, is poor as well. So the Gemara says, how do you know that's true? Meaning once you have the pasuk that reads Imdalhu, maybe the Torah is only going to be chas. The Torah will only have compassion on the actual Metzorah himself. But on the copycat who says, I'd like to give whatever he's giving, maybe for him. Correct, absolutely correct. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to put himself on the hook. So maybe for him, the Torah has no rachmanus whatsoever. And maybe for him, he has to give the rich man's karban. Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, v'ein yado maseges, l'rabba ses hanoder. So if you go back to the Parsha Metzorah, the Torah says, ein yado maseges. Now, the Pasuk already says, v'im dalhu. So why is the Torah now repeating the Ein Yado Maseges? So it comes to include somebody else. Who is it coming to include? The Noder. Aval Madira Asher Hachinami Demaisi Bashiros. So the Gemara says, okay, now what are you telling me? That in the world of Metzorah, we're basically now going to differentiate. We're going to say that our copycat Metzorah, meaning he's not a copycat and being a Metzorah, but he's a copycat meaning that whatever my friend is now obligated, I'm going to obligate myself as well. The consideration, the special assessment of an ani will be given to him if he's an ani as well. But if the mitzvah is an ani and his friend's an ashir, and his friend says, I'm also going to be on the hook for a carbon mitzvah, he has to give not the poor man's mitzvah, but he has to give a wealthy man's mitzvah. Im kain, my ava b'karbanos eino kain. So the Gemara says, so how did you understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that, you know, everything we talked about in Erechin, but that's not true by Karbanos. Yeah, it is. It is true by Karbanos. Meaning, because in the world of Erechin, what do we say? We say that we follow the, in terms of finances, so who do we follow? The Marech. In the world of Karbanos, in this scenario, who are we following? The Noder. So you know what? It really is the same. Right? Not exactly the same, but similar. Certainly doesn't warrant the Mishnah to say, Uver Karbanos and Akein. You know, none of this is true by Karban. No, some of it is true by Karban.
But the thing is with the Noder, like the guy who's copying the copycat was in the
place. Yeah.
But if the guy is wealthy, if he just wanted to donate two birds on his own, you don't go to him and say, oh, you're really rich.
Correct.
You don't donate any animals, you're rich. So in a way, when he's being a copycat, he's just limiting to what he wants to give, and he has that option.
Right. So All right, so watch the Gemara is going to split the two. So the Gemara says chada mitzora ani madira ani v'chada lemeute mitzora asher madira ani. Okay, so the Gemara says, look, we're going to have to basically break it up into two scenarios. Meaning, the mitzora is an ani and the madira is an ani. Right, the copycat is also poor. So we're going to follow the. We're following both, meaning the mitzora is poor, so obviously he gets a special assessment. And the copycat's also poor, he's going to get a special assessment. And the other scenario that we've been discussing is where the mitzora is wealthy and the madir is ani. So the mitzora is wealthy, so obviously he's going to be on the hook for the full mitzora carbon, right? The rich man's mitzora is carbon. And what about the copycat now? So the Gemara says, well, I might have thought that he should also be included in this special limud, meaning he should also get now a special consideration, kamash malan. So the Gemara says, that's not right. Lafisha matzino be'erchin, ani she'erich es asher, nosin erich ani, yachol avzeh, kein tamalomar, im dalhu. So the Gemara says, no, he's not going to get a special consideration. In erichin, it works. The one making the erich pledge, he's always going to get a special consideration. Even when the one he's pledging for, it happens to be wealthy. Doesn't matter. Meaning it's his pledge, and therefore he gets a special consideration. But in the world of karbanos, if the mitzora himself is wealthy, and the one pledging against the mitzora, the copycat, he is not wealthy, he does not get the special consideration. Ula Rebbe Damar, Omer Af Ani Af Berchin Kain, Ama Basar Chiyuva De Gavra Azlinan. So Rebbe says, you know, Ein Erchin, I say the same thing. Meaning that if I created a parallel scenario of Erchin to Mitzora, they will follow one another. So you see that according to Rabbi, I follow the Chiyuva de Gavra. So that's true. According to Rabbi, I don't need the special Hu Limud. So Lemute Mai, Lemute Mitzora Ani Madira Asher. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi, the Hu consideration is to teach me or to exclude the following case. The Mitzora is poor. And the one who's copycatting is wealthy. So now, according to Rebbe, look, I follow the chiyuv of the gavra. So the Gemara says that's what the who is coming to tell me. Meaning, in this particular scenario, if the mitzvah is poor, he'll get a special assessment. The madir, the one who's copycatting, is rich. He does not get the special consideration. Kamash malan. Okay. Moving right along. Haya ani veha'ashir. Ashir veha'ani. Okay? Wealth is temporary, right? So is poverty. Good to know. Although when we say poverty is temporary, we mean generationally temporary. Meaning, you know, one generation could be poor, the next generation could be wealthy. So these things change. And not only do they change from generation to generation, they change even within one lifetime. Okay? So in other words, you could be wealthy, you could become poor, you could be poor, you could become wealthy. So, no sein erech asher. So the Gemara says, you're always going to get stuck. You're always going to have to give the erech of the asher. Okay, so even though at one point now, if you're poor and you become wealthy, okay, that's good. Meaning now you can afford it. If you're wealthy and then you become poor, you're still on the hook. To give...
If you don't have it, you're going
to
get...
Yeah. Correct. Meaning you'll be right. You'll be correct. Currently, in your poor status, it's not going to help you. But it does mean, however, that you're going to be on the. You will be on the hook. Okay, you will owe. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ani VeAsher Chazav Ani Nosein Erech Asher. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you were poor and you become wealthy and then you become poor again, Nosein Erech Asher. So then you're going to give the erech of a wealthy individual. Meaning, as long as at one point in time you had the money, you're going to be obligated. Aval b'karbanos ena kein. Afilo meis aviv v'hiniach lo. By karbanos, that's not going to be the case. What does that mean? Rashi explains that, let's say, for example, Hashim haya mitzora asher v'hani, o eni v'hashir, hako holech achar, hava'as karbanosav k'damer b'braisa b'gemara. When it comes to karbanos, there is one significant point, and that is when you bring the karban. Meaning for a mitzora, we don't follow his portfolio. Oh, it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. We don't follow that for karbanos. We simply follow. At the time you're bringing the karban, what are you? Are you wealthy? Are you poor? And that's it. So in other words, by karbanos, there's one set time. When it comes to the erech, we follow your portfolio. Meaning we track your portfolio from the time that you made the erech vow. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, if at any point in time it went up, that's it. Now you're on the hook for a rich man's erech. Afilu meitzav v'inich lo ribos finaso b'yam uvalo b'ribos ein lehektish baklom. We're going back to the case of Erchin. This is an independent statement that's made. Okay? And basically it goes like this. Let's say you made your Erech vow. And you stand to inherit a lot of money. A lot of money. But right now you're poor. Okay? And dad has not been helpful. Huh? Right? Dad has not been helpful over the years. So, but you now know that you stand to inherit a lot of money. And you quickly run to the Kohen. You say to the Kohen, look. let's take care of my Erech pledge right now. Right now. and it's not clear from the Mishnah. Is he actually paying it? So I'm not 100% sure.
He wants to be assessed,
right? But it sounds from Rashi we're just doing an assessment. And but once he gets assessed, it's like, you know, rate lock. Okay, that's it. Once the Kohen assesses him, so that's it. He's now officially assessed. So he runs to the Kohen. He says, okay, let's do it. Okay? And as we're going to learn the Gemara later on, you know, to make the case even more exciting, I don't mean exciting. I just mean more of a chiddush, right? Dad's really checking out. Meaning, right, the Gemara is going to say dad's a goses, right? So he's like, dad's really on his way out.
What's the difference between goses and a shechimara? Is it the same?
Closer steps. Goses is the last step.
Shechimara
means that he's terminal, but, you know. Right. Goses is really like the last step before death. Right. Right. What a happy topic. So the Mishnah says that, so he runs to the Kohen, he says to the Kohen, okay, assess me right now. So the Kohen says, okay. And even then, right, and now, okay, Kohen assessed him, and then dad dies, and now, right, the money's pouring in, ein lehektish ba klum, hektish gets nothing, right, because he got rate locked. We start with the Gemara, ani v'ashir asher tasigad yad hanoder. So the Torah says, asher tasigad hanoder, whatever he can afford. Asher v'ha'ani, well, here's the interesting one, meaning he was wealthy, but now he's poor. He doesn't get a special assessment. Why? Alpi asher tasig. Because it's alpi. Meaning at the time when he made the pledge, he was in fact wealthy. Rav Yehuda Omer, afilo ani v'eshev v'chazev v'ani, nosin erech asher. My time is the Rav Yehuda. Now what about Rav Yehuda? Because Rav Yehuda, look for Rav Yehuda, when he made the pledge, he was poor. When he's paying, he was poor. But there was a point in between where he was wealthy. And Rav Yehuda says, I don't give him special assessment. He's going to have to pay that of an usher. What's the reason behind Rav Yehuda? Amakra, v'im machu me'erkecha, ad shehei b'machuso, mitchilaso v'ad sofo. The Torah says, imachu. Machu is a state of being. Meaning, it's not that he was poor, it's not that he is poor, it's that he was in a constant state of poverty. From the moment that he made it his erech, to the moment that he's assessed. Ela mi'ata, so the Gemara says, is that true? Is that true? In other words, when the Torah says v'imachu, it has to now be a state of being. It's not enough that he was poor. It's not enough that he is poor. It now has to be that he was in a constant state of poverty. Is that always true? So the Gemara says, let's see if this is true by other areas of halacha. So the Gemara says, let's go back to our Mitzorah again. Again. V'im dalhu. You want to tell me that for the mitzora, it has to be that in order for him to get that special consideration, and to bring the poor man's Metzorah, it can't be that he was poor. It can't be that he is poor. It has to be that he was in a constant state of poverty. Now you want to tell me that that's true? It's not true. That's not. This is the Mishnah that Rashi was alluding to earlier. Mitzor shehevi karbonosav, ani ve'ashir, ashir ve'ani, hakol holech achar chatas div Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says it all follows a chatas. What does that mean? When he brings his karbon chatas, we look at his financials right now. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, hakol holech achar asham. Rabbi Yehuda says we follow the karbon asham. Now the chatas and the asham are typically brought in the same day. So practically speaking, it's not going to make much of a difference. It just happens to be which carbon is the trigger carbon. Which carbon is the one where we look at his financials.
This is for the
Ola.
Correct.
And there's a third opinion, and that is, then when do we look at his financials? When he brings his Tziporim, when he brings his birds. The birds is what is originally brought as part of his kapara. Now, ha'it ma'alam, Rabbi Yehuda, ma'arav, v'shalosh tamikra'a chadashu. Now, they all learn it out from the same pasuk. Asher lo sasig yado bitaharaso. When do we look at his financials? Bitaharaso, when he's mitar himself. Now, what is that point of tahara? Rabbi Shimon Sava Devra Mechaper, my neo chatas. So Rabbi Shimon says it's a carbon chatas. That's when we look at his financials. Rabbi Yehuda Sava Devra Hamachshir, my neo asham. That which is machshir provides for him the ability to eat future karbanos, which is when he brings the karban asham. And finally, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, "Hagorim lo tahara ma'idu tziporim." He says it's the gorim; it's what causes him tahara, which is the tziporim. So the ella hu lamali. So the Gemara says, "Okay, that's why in the world of mitzora we don't simply say it's a state of being, but rather it's when the karban's bring. So why do we have the word hu?" So Rabbi Chediislo, the Rabbanan Chediislo. So the Gemara says, well, that goes back to our previous discussion, the discussion of what if you had the copycat, okay, as we discussed on the previous page. Elamiata v'hu aid achi ekasha mitchelas aviat sofa. Now, the Gemara says, if the word who tells me that it has to be a state of being, so the Gemara says, let's take a look for a moment at edus. A testimony. So the Gemara says, in order to be a kosher aid, you have to be a kosher aid from the beginning until the end. Now, what exactly does that mean? We'll see in just a second. Okay, Gemara gives an assortment of cases. Let's say I have testimony to say about my friend, but then my friend becomes my son-in-law. Okay. So now I can't go into court and testify about him. I'm now his father-in-law. Okay. Or the Gemara gives an assortment of other examples. He was smart and he becomes, he could see, but then he becomes blind. Okay. In other words, at the time when he's about to give the testimony, he's either legally or physically incapable of testifying, or let's say legally. So, Hare's apostle. Ava hayo yodelo, eidet sachlo nase chasno v'nase chasno v'achar kach meso bito. Pikech v'nischareish v'chasno v'nispakech. Pastuch v'nistamei v'achar kach nispatech. Shafui v'nishtateh v'achar v'nishtafeh. Kosher. However, if at the time when he saw the testimony, he was good. And then he goes through a period of legally being not good. Let's say, for a point in time, I was a family member. But then, right, I no longer was his family member, right? The person who he married died. So we're no longer related. Or let's say he was blind, he could see, he was blind, and then he could see again. So can you testify? And the answer is, yes, you can. Zeh haklal. Kol shetchilas v'sofa b'kashrus, kasher. So as long as at the beginning, meaning when you saw the testimony, you were kasher. And now when you're about to provide the testimony, you're kasher. So at that point in time now, you're kosher. So you see that even though the Torah says v'hu aid, it doesn't mean that you have to be in a constant state of eidus. It's sufficient if you're a good aid from the beginning until the end. So the Gemara says, so why? Shani hasam damakra o ra'ah im lo yagid. Biri'iyah v'hagada tala rechmana milsa. So the Gemara says, because the Torah looks at the point of Re'iyah, when you saw the testimony, and V'higidin, the point that where you said the testimony. V'ha'ika, and there you have it. V'ela v'hu lamali. So the Gemara says, so why does the Torah say the word v'hu, which now is misleading, which v'hu indicated that you have to be in a constant state of kashrus, which is not true. So the Gemara says, l'chidatanya ra'a si'ish al b'nei adam omdim v'edav b'neihem, v'amar mash b'nei alechem im yodim atem li'edosh, shetavo v'ta'iduni, yachul yuchayavim tamalamar v'hu eid, v'haralu yichayid edav. So the Gemara says that, let's say there's a group of people. Amongst that group, one of your witnesses. And you turn to the whole group, and without specifying to your witnesses, you say, I need you guys to make a shvua. Swear to me that you don't know testimony. But you don't actually point to the witnesses. Are they liable? Remember, a witness who suppresses testimony is on the hook.
As a group, no.
You have to, v'hu tells us that you have to specify the witnesses. Yachla afila amar kol mi tamalamar v'hu eid, v'are yichid eidav. So, as long as you specify, you point, and even if it's a group of people, and you say, if any one of you know testimony, swear to me right now that you don't know, so, and he says, call me, and you point to the whole group, so you miyached, you now specify the whole group. And those witnesses who knew the testimony but didn't step forward, so now they're going to be on the hook. They're going to be liable for suppression of testimony. Okay, and that's what we learn out from the Pasuk V'hu. Okay? Two big topics that we started, the fourth parak of Erchin today. We talked about who we follow in terms of special assessment if you're poor. The simple answer is the no there. Complicated discussion of the Gemara of paralleling the case of the no to the case of the Mitzora. Next mission we did is following the portfolio. At what point in time do we assess the individual? So machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to be in a constant state of poverty from the beginning until the end, and the Chachamim say no. Poor at the beginning or poor at the end, but if you have any middle, according to the Chachamim, you're not considered, that's not enough to be wealthy. Okay? And then we try to look at other areas in halacha where is this a requirement of constant state of...
And we, if you're poor and getting rich, or you're rich and poor, you stop
being... You don't get a special assessment. Okay.